make sure that I'm going to address those at some point. And then you're teaching from the ground up. So if I'm seated, what's on the ground is my legs and my pelvis, right? So sit down, right? Like I said this to you guys today. Sit down, sit upright in your pelvis. I go and I get props if you're not. I tell you how to adjust if you're not. So get the foundation set. Legs are straight. Legs are together. Sit bones are anchored on the ground. Like I said, start there. And then whatever movement I'm going to do, I have to know what's going to happen in the pelvis. So am I tilting forward? Am I tilting back? Am I in the middle? So you're just guiding in that way. And then what happens, right? And then looking around the room and seeing are people in the back bends, are they straight? And so then I'm going to guide the middle of their body. And then I'm going to guide the shoulders, right? So that's working from the ground up. So always getting the foundation. And then the platforms, like we talked about, Tadasana, of the body, pelvis, shoulders. With twist, inhaling for length, exhaling to twist. Inhaling for length, exhaling twist. We're always going to talk about breath and twisting. So maybe what we can do is, we can practice teach a couple of these poses and get familiar with just doing that, like really keeping it simple to start. What's on the ground? What's on the floor? Is it their hips? Is it their feet? What do I need to stabilize? And then what do I need to move on? How about if we teach, you can work with your partner, you guys can sit up, get them a blanket if you feel like they're rolling back or dumping in their spine or anything like that. We'll bend one knee, place a foot down, and we'll practice right hand behind us, left arm up alongside the ear. As we inhale, we create length in the spine. As we exhale, we twist, and the elbow can come outside the knee. And then you'll draw that right shoulder head back, you'll gaze towards the wall, and then you'll go around with your partner and you'll see, did they move their pelvis? Can I guide them to maybe sit a little deeper into their right sit bone? Or can I turn them from their rib cage a bit more, their shoulder blades? And breathe, you know, and just give them a gentle twist. To come out of the twist, you inhale, and you exhale, release. And exhale is usually movement of some sort, bending.
How do you know if somebody needs to sit more on the right sit bone?
If it was coming up, if this right sit bone were coming up, or if I were twisting my pelvis, I would draw the right sacrum in and down to stabilize that right sit bone. So tell them what action. When you're telling someone to do something, give them a direction.
Mm-hmm.
So if I said that not correctly, really, because if I were to just drop my right sit bone down, it wouldn't do anything to my pelvis. It's more like lift the back of your pelvis up,
mm-hmm.
press the right hip forward, mm-hmm. and down. That would adjust it better.
And would you say there also might be a little engagement in the inner thigh, like the knee going out or drawing in? And
possibly.
Pelvis?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could possibly be happening too. Mm-hmm. And then bring them back to the center, and you can do the other side. So instruct, because you'll find when you go to instruct, if you don't tell them to do anything. So I want the person who's on the ground to literally do what the person's telling you. Try not to do the pose before they're giving you the pose. So if I'm here, have them, lift your arm and reach it back behind you. Put the fingers on the floor. It's literally like inhale, reach the arm up, extend through the length of the spine. Exhale, turn from the rib cage, right elbow outside the knee. Press down to lift up. That's always a good thing. Root down to lift your spine up. Inhale, exhale, twist. And start to practice. Maybe breathe with them, practice with them so you get it in your body. And then as you're doing it in your own body, you're showing them, but you're also also doing it in your own body. You can teach, like I almost did the whole practice with you guys today because I knew I do the room and body a lot and had to. But I don't normally teach that way. I don't do all poses with everybody because I want to teach and I have to see people. But you can do that when you first start teaching. You can do it with them. No one's going to give you an F, you know. But eventually, get off the floor and help people and do adjustments and, you know, do other things, hands-on adjustments. But in the beginning, if that gets you in your body, to teach it in your body is how you'll be able to teach it, right?
So when you say push down to sit up, you're pushing the
push
arm,
your leg
the
down,
fingertips, your,
your sit bones down, your down to lift up and turn. And yeah, get really specific. So when you, the more specific you are, the more clear people in your class will be about what they have to do, right? So if I'm just kind of giving very generalized instructions, it may not land as well as if I, you know, that's the advantage that you'll have because you have a lot of anatomy in your body.
Mm-hmm.
You can get very specific with people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's something that would be beneficial to them. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to overdo it because they'll be like, oh my God, she's talking about all my anatomy. But for you to sit to even ask that question, what am I pressing down? Good. Press the thigh bone down. Press your left sit bone down. Lift the back of your pelvis up. As you exhale, turn, right? So that you, if you know that information, do it in your body and instruct it.
Okay.
That's an intelligent way of instructing.
Okay.
Versus just like kind of being too general.
And if we're teaching people over time, then we can choose like one or two pieces of anatomy that we educate on.
Right.
Now you don't just say it. You're like, this is where it is. This is
right.
And then
yeah.
I get it.
Right.
They keep coming back.
Yeah, that's right. And you can choose, like you said, different parts of anatomy. Like you could really focus one day and really teach people about your ankle. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I did a class once where I only taught the feet, the whole class. And I was like, just try it out. And it was crazy weird because everyone was so grounded. They're like, whoa, that was so weird. I had like all these, like, I was like in the earth. And I was, you know, I only talked about feet. In every pose, I was like, spread the toes, lift the arches, outer ankles, firming in, you know. And so in every single pose, I just did that. You can do that. You can choose a body part and just drill it, like I was saying, until it's like nauseous, you know. But like by the time they get into a pose, they're going to love it. They're going to love it. And you get to choose. It's up to you what your theme is. Happy feet, happy life. That's what I was like. Alright, so let's try that. You want to try that pose? It's called Marichyasana. It doesn't really matter what it's called. Like I don't teach a lot of the Sanskrit anymore in classes. I just tell people what to do. And then if they want another pose anyway, they'll know it. But I didn't teach the pose name, right? I just said bend your knee, place your fingertips behind you, lift your left arm, exhale, twist, or inhale, lift, exhale, twist. And, you know, no one asked me, what's the name of that pose? Right? Just do it. Alright, so let's start. Let's do that. Pick a partner. Have them sit up in a blanket if they need to. Have them bend one knee. Put one hand behind you. Inhale with the arm. Exhale, do the twist. Keep them in there. Teach the pose. So if you don't know what to teach, ground up. What do you think they have to do? This is where you start to get intuitive with your teaching. Press down through the feet. That will lift them up in their spine. You know that you're rotating them, so maybe the belly is lengthened, it is pressing back. There's a million things you could say. So instead of giving you a script, I want you to feel it in your body. What would you say? You know, that's going to make you a teacher for your students and your body type. And then turning, right? And then coming back and teach them how to get out of it. Inhale, lift. Exhale, release. Stretch your right leg forward. So work with a partner and try to teach it. Just try to teach it intuitively. Because you know the mechanics of it, so now I'm trying to get it out of your mouth. And then go to the other side. And if they're not following you, then you haven't said something. And that's how you know you haven't said something.
Right?
That's the best way. Like when you make mistakes, like with your voice, you always know. Like I'll be in a class and I'll say something, and I won't realize that I've said something wrong or weird or whatever I said. I'll be like, why is that. And I'm like, wait, that's me. Is that everybody? It's me. What did I say? Oh, sorry. I must have said the other way. Let me rephrase that. Do this and this. Okay, now that makes sense. That happens to me a lot in twisting classes because I'm like mirroring and I'm like, oh, yeah. It was happening a little inside Crow today. I was like, what arm are they going to be on? And
so I just saw a picture of Crow in here and the guy is in push up and he literally, and maybe it's just because he's advanced, like he brought and he's resting on one elbow, but
yeah, side Crow.
It's side Crow.
Yeah, yeah,
and
he's resting on one arm.
Right, but his hands were here,
yeah,
as opposed to here.
Yeah, you just twist your
no,
body.
Please.
It's not the same.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's
doesn't look the same.
It's
go like
front
this.
Of his mat. Yeah, he's just at the front of his mat instead of being on the side. I twisted you first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sideways, but it's the same pose. It's just one's facing the front and that one's
facing. So you don't have
to
have that crazy core strength to bring yourself up and into a twist at the same time. Is that why you twisted us first? Or
I twisted you first because I was focusing on twists, but that this is the same thing. You're just saying you
see, this is what
it are straight forward.
It's lower body.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you were doing today.
Oh, that's not what I was doing. And I was on like this.
On your elbow? How'd you bend your elbow then? No, you didn't do it then.
I got a little bit up.
Yeah, so when you go to twist, your knee needs to be above the elbow so that you can bend your arms into chaturanga.
Okay, so this side I was much more successful at, so we'll try this.
So your palms are, so turn your, so twist your body
this.
So you're at a diagonal. There you go.
And
yeah,
I was
you're
resting.
So look at me for a second. Your body is doing this at a diagonal because you're not fully in a twist.
Okay.
So if you were fully in a twist, your hands would be in chaturanga and your chest would be pointing straight forward. That's why I did the twist first.
Okay, so it's
there
just lack of my ability
you just
to
did
really
the twist.
Twist.
You were going diagonally.
But
now,
should I not have any weight on this back arm?
Right, and bend your elbows to 90 degrees, chest forward, and take the arch out of your upper, or rounding out of your upper back, chest forward, sternum forward. Think chaturanga, my upper chest. So chest goes forward, there you go. Now, yeah, try that.
Yeah, there's no way I can do that.
You're just
hard.
Not fully in a twist, and that's why. So
that's
what you're seeing
because
of
just though, right?
With the
torsibility.
That's why I do that pose with the twist first, because it takes an incredible amount of twisting to be able to get into that pose.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing it from the front, he's doing the same thing. His chest is forward, he's in chaturanga, and all of his weight is on the side of his body. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So if it lands better for you, to twist the lower half of your body and point your knees to the side wall and have your hands at the front of your mat. Try that. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's just a visual cue.
But I this
don't,
is
yeah, don't lean into your left arm. Take all your weight to the right. That's it. You just did it.
Oh my God.
So it's not that you can't do it, it's just a deep twist.
Oh my God.
And sometimes it's
a
visual thing.
I love it.
Awesome.
I'm going to
do that.
So, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's something visually happening. Sometimes the visual cues of, like, the front of the mat being parallel is all you needed. You're like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's not diagonal. Now I can see that I need to be
organized.
Yeah, right. Sometimes it is just that, you know? Like, people jumping back from, I had a couple of students wanting really badly to jump back from crow pose to chaturanga. But, so the minute I said to them, bring your chest forward when you jump your legs back, they could do it. But before that, they were landing on their face every single time. I was like, what's going on? So sometimes it's just a dialogue, you know, with the body, like, okay, body. What I'm trying to do is bring my chest forward and my legs back so I'm splitting my body, not dropping my body. And that simple thing, right? It's just like a simple dialogue. Oh, okay. And then they got it. You know?
And that's always the antagonist
rather than energy lines. That's an important way to teach energy lines. That's how you can assist people and do hands-on adjustments too. Because you can look at their body and go, I know this pose. I don't know maybe right now what's going on in their body, but I know that the energy line needs to go in this direction, right? Or like something stagnant. And so now, what do I need to do? Am I lengthening them? Am I folding them? Am I giving them a back bend? What do I have to do in their body to make it feel right, you know, if I were doing it in my body? So do things in your own body, you know, while you're working with the client. Do it with your, do it with them. Like in private, so you would usually work with the private. You would probably practice with them a little bit anyway.
When you're doing privates, are you doing like an actual, going through like a whole
session? I do a class.
Oh, okay.
For them. A session.
Mm-hmm.
And then while they're in things, I really break it down and I give them adjustments and I, you know, I'll slow down and give a teaching if I need to, whatever, you know. Sometimes they just want to talk a lot and do emotional healing work or whatever, you know, and that's okay too, as long as you're game for it. I give them a class based on what they tell me they think they need that day.
Oh, okay, so you sometimes make stuff up right then and there.
I do, yeah. Sometimes they're like, I don't know, just give me a class. I'm like, okay. But if they're like, oh gosh, you know, this thing came up, and then I'll adjust and I'll say, okay, well, why don't we do this? Mm-hmm.
See, I can cheat.
Yeah.
Well, like, so my own.
The cheat is to put both legs on both arms.
Okay.
Put my hip on.
You can do that. Yeah. So it's not going to kill her. It's not going to hurt her. It's just a way for her to stabilize.
Would that be like a modification?
It's
until
a modification.
You are able to get.
Yeah, I call it the training wheels to to sign code. And once you get that, then eventually, because it's bond work, to be able to lift up from there is actually using your what's called the Mulabandha and the Uddiyana Bandha. So two bandhas. So eventually, right? So you're here, you've got your arms totally up against your legs. And that's mechanics, and that's great. And then eventually, bandhas, pelvic floor. And core, I'm just gonna go.
Yeah!
Right? You can feel that, right? It's just like, you know? That's what they call flight in yoga. It's
wow.
Like finding that like inner body. It's like,
yeah.
Where do I, what muscles am I just engaging to get that inner body to strengthen and lift up? Flight. Uddiyana means upward. That's flight. So that's the stuff, I mean, I wish I could do handstands the way I used to be able to do. I don't practice them that much anymore. But to like be in a pose and just that grace will just get up. You've seen that, right?
Mm-hmm.
On videos.
Oh, on yoga.
People are just like, you know, it's graceful as a bird. Simple. They're breathing, they're totally in their breath.
Yeah.
There's no effort. Right, because you can get to those places if you really start working with the bandhas and the subtle body and practice, of course, but just floating. Beautiful. So graceful and ease-filled, right? That's the ultimate yoga, right? If you can do a whole practice just in that flow of breath with really little or no effort, it becomes effortless. That's the mastery of the physical asana, is to get to those, that place of just so easy and graceful and fluid and not a lot of attention to too much stuff. All right, so let's get together in pairs. There's an odd number of us, so let's do 3 and 2, you know, and have somebody sit, and we'll just do this gentle, I just want you to practice the mechanics of the breath. Inhale to lengthen, exhale to twist. Teach the pose a little bit, even if you're just guessing. Release them out of the pose. We're always teaching a pose to get them into it, the foundation, breath, and then once they're in it, what do? You know, you can just say breathe, but eventually you might want to have them do something, and then come out of it, and then have them get out of it. So there's that 3 parts to every pose. How to get in, what to do once you're in it, what to do to get out. And then we'll do the other stuff. gentle. Just sit on blankets. It's totally fine. Try it out.
You shall be. And I haven't ever teamed up with you guys yet, so.
Try it out. Try it out. I know. It's a long days. Another long
day. Shall we ask more questions?
I know. The more questions, the more I digress. I gotta stop doing that. I think students of mine know that about me, so I'm chit-chatting.
Do you want to teach me? Be me? Or
Thank you.
Bye, Fred.
Headless Fred.
Okay, so we're gonna have feet. I'm gonna have you hold your feet under the elbows.
Okay. Perfect.
You're
the perfect person to teach. Okay. So.
Do
you feel like your legs are getting touch your legs
tomorrow? good now.
Oops. Placing that right elbow onto your knee.
You want to do the other side?
Yep.
On your own.
Push down into the floor. Rising up.
More
in your spine.
Thank you.
neutral.
So the Sanskrit, and she
so for you, if your arm is short, then come up onto your fingertips.
Yeah,
so you can meet yourself up.
I use a great match. She's a super great lady, though. Really nice. So she actually was doing yoga at Walkabout Brewery on Thursdays out in the yard. Yoga and beer.
Right. Everybody's arm is in design.
And if you put your
place
on the back,
that's right next to you. Yes.
That would be support. Like, I have to bend my arm, but my arms are so long for everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
sure
it's a
place
to do it.
So
I think she's actually moving past it. Because she's having a hard time getting her husband.
My arms.
Yeah. They got here, but I think they were
like, monkey arms.
Very
limited. They help in jumping rooms, although I don't do those any longer. But they used
yes,
to help a lot.
I would love all
the
time.
Because I can fly from my arms, no problem. And people be like, getting stuck. I say, hey, how are you stuck? Oh, are you for arms?
I think it's how that helps with the flying thing. Yeah, but you don't have to use as much tucking.
It's a cheat. I mean, I was definitely like, it wasn't that hard, only because of that. I wasn't really as strong, as core strong as I needed to be to probably do those things.
Yeah.
It was more
well,
it's
you
like room.
The physics of it. Yeah.
How have you practiced before I go and have
okay, how are we doing? Looks like we're done with that one. Is there any questions about what we just did? So, real quick. So remember how I've been talking about blueprints every now and again? I'm like the blueprint pose. So Tadasana is the blueprint pose of standing poses. The blueprint pose of sitting poses is Dandasana, which is staff pose. So if you know how to teach this pose, then you know how to teach most seated poses. The blueprint pose of twisting could be maybe the one I just showed you, Marichyasana C. So if you know that pose, you pretty much know the mechanics of all the other poses.
What is that one I just called?
Marichyasana C. I would also say a blueprint pose for twisting could be Sukhasana with a twist.
Okay. What's the non-Sanskrit name?
Seated, easy seated pose with a twist.
Okay.
What's the Sanskrit name for the staff pose?
Dandasana.
Dandasana.
Because then every pose from there is really this, right? Like, Jhana Shavasana is just a hip opener, right? Then, the blueprint pose for core work, if you were prone and facing the floor, would be plank pose. If there's a blueprint pose for core on the ground, maybe like, maybe like this, you know, something like that, like where we're just stabilizing the whole upper body, so like legless might be.
Would that be Tadasana?
It is, yeah, it's Tadasana, torso, and really instructing, trying to find stability. Because that's going to be the same here, right? Like these little leg lifts is what I meant. Mm-hmm. So like if we're going to be on the back and doing core stability work, these little tap downs, I think they're called tap downs.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
That's what they call them in Pilates or something. Then you could do that. And that's going to be the same thing as this, the same thing as this, the same thing as, you know, most of them. The blueprint to a simple back bend, a prone back bend on the front of your body, would be Shalabhasana, locust pose, or loco breath. Everything is going to follow this, the mechanics of that. And then I would venture to say that bridge pose is the foundational knowledge for any of the back bends that are exposed in the front. Whatever.
What did you say the low cobra is a blue
prone back bend. So.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Supine.
Yeah. Supine. Yeah. So we've got prone, and then the ones that are on your back would be like bridge, right? Because you would bridge, and then bridge would go into Urdhva Dhanurasana, fully on. And bridge is the same as Ustrasana, right? Like if you do bridge, basically this is bridge, right? I'm on the ground, this is bridge. So it's really Ustrasana, it's bridge, right, essentially. So if you know those basic ones, then you're well on your way to teaching. Does that make sense? It's like knowing what the basic ingredients are for a cake, and then any cake could be built on top of that. So if you know how to instruct those basic poses, then you're good to go for the other poses. Now, when we get to inversions, it's going to be, I would say, downward dog is essentially the blueprint for headstands, for forearm stand, headstand, handstand. Anyway, there's a combination of some of these things, but that's your basic inversion. If you know down dog, like the arms, the shoulders, what's going on, you pretty much have handstand, headstand, dolphin pose, all this. And then for our shoulder stand, again, shoulder stand, the blueprint for shoulder stand is really like a bridge pose. Now for standing poses, we said it's Tadasana, and then obviously there's a lot of poses within standing poses. Then you've got your twists in standing, twists in sitting. So knowing one standing twist and one sitting twist, right? So we said Marichyasana as the one foundational one for sitting. Well, a foundational one, I would say, for twisting standing pose could be twisting triangle. So if you know twisting triangle, you're going to know this, you're going to know, or maybe even a crescent twist could be maybe a crescent twist would be the blueprint pose for twisting in standing. Okay, the mechanics are going to be the same, whether my leg is bent, straight, right? Whether I'm on one leg, okay? So let's say crescent twist is like a foundational twist, standing twist. So once you know those blueprints and you can teach those, you're going to be able to teach the other ones. I'm just going to say it like that, because I think that's true. What other category am I missing? Forward folds. Well, Dandasana. Yeah, so we did all of them. So there's like the categories of poses, if you will. I don't think I'm missing anything. Oh, arm balance. Arm balances, it's chaturanga or plank. Because as you saw Bakasana side row, it's chaturanga. A lot of arm balances are bent armed type of things. Aside from inversions, but so yeah, so and Bakasana is probably like one of the basic, if we're talking about arm balances, that's a pretty common arm balance.
What's Bakasana?
Crow pose.
Oh, okay.
Which is feet together, knees wide. Again, it's chaturanga arms, which is why I always say chaturanga is kind of the blueprint of arm balances, and then weight towards the fingertip. So if you know how to teach these poses, then you're pretty good to go. Mm-hmm. Hip openers, Sukhasana. It's a hip opener. You know, if you know how to teach this, then it's not much different than this, right? Which is not much different than this. So hip openers I would say Sukhasana. Understanding Sukhasana. Because that's really, even if you're down here, it's, you know, these are, so, and then standing balance poses, if we're going to put that in a category, tree pose. Standing balance poses, tree pose is like a basic blueprint.
I would think hip openers would involve hip extension.
That too, yeah. Yeah, because we could, okay, so we can talk of hip extension, neutral legs, and we could talk about external rotation as well. Because, what you said is right. Like, hip opener doesn't only mean external rotation of the hip.
Mm-hmm.
The hip opener can also be like what she's saying, this could be a hip opener. Right? And that could be a hip opener. So, lunges are great for hip extension. So, know those basic ones, and a lot of them are based on the sun salutations, really. If you notice, a lot of them are. Right? How to stand, Tadasana, and the arms go up and the arm forward fold. And then we're in plank, and we're in chaturanga, up dog, we could do a cobra, down dog. So, those are like blueprints for long leg poses. Okay, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What can we do with the next 20 minutes?
For me, I mean, I don't know how to go over these blueprint poses and the cues.
Okay.
That would be helpful to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so we could go through the platforms of the body. So let's do that. So stand up.
Thank you, Nicole.
Yeah.
You've been bringing a lot of energy all day.
I'm just trying to figure out how to best utilize the last 20 minutes here. So that's good. I'm glad you asked for that. It's kind of like, we can repeat them in the head. Or you could repeat them out loud. So Tadasana. These will just be like simple actions, right? Spread all 10 toes. It's a simple action. Draw your inner arches up. Firm your outer ankles in. See how that takes care of the feet pretty easily?
Mm-hmm.
Just spreading your toes, lifting your inner arches, firming your outer ankles. And as you do that, what do you feel in your legs?
I feel my kneecaps raised.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So that's an action that a lot of people teach. Kneecaps lifting, or quadriceps lifting. You guys can record this if you want. Inner thighs pressing back.
So when I do that, I feel my kneecaps drop.
So then don't overdo it.
So then you'll do that for sure.
Then you probably overdid it, and you probably pressed back. So this is where we get into counteractions in teaching. So if you felt that, I would say, if you pressed your thighs back and you locked your knees, I would say soften your knees and lift the front of your pelvis up and then watch it. So now that I covered the feet and the legs. Now pelvis. Lift your frontal hip bones up as you draw the tops of your thigh bones back. Or I can instruct from the back of the body, drop the tailbone towards the heels. Or lengthen the flesh of your bum towards your heels. So hopefully for most bodies that's non-neutral. Slight lift of the belly, a slight lift of the abdomen. Now if someone's arching right now, I would say soften your front ribs, lift your back ribs. Widen your collarbones, lift your sternum. That overdoes it, and your body softening the front ribs down. You could even say you're widening between your shoulder blades. This is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Lengthen the sides of your neck.
feel like that?
There's probably 5,000 things I could say about that pose, so I'm just going to give you a couple basics, okay? So now if I know this pose, and I know those actions, when I step out, let's just say, and I go into an externally rotated pose, I'm going to do similar actions. So bring your hands to your hips, step out wide, one leg's distance. Bend your right knee slightly, and I'm not hearing you, bend your right knee slightly. Rotate your right leg out, 90 degrees. Turn your back heel out, or your toes in. So that's the action of external rotation. If you want to hear that again, from neutral, bend your right knee, rotate your right inner leg out 90 degrees. Turn your back toes in slightly. Arms out to the sides, inhale. Exhale from your hip, bend your right knee. It's really your leg that's doing it. Bend your right knee 90 degrees. So what are my Tadasana actions then in the pose?
Lift your arches?
Yeah, I could say lift the inner arches of your feet. Hug your outer ankles in. Lift your quadricep muscles up. I'm just going to use the same ones as I did before. Draw the front of the abdomen up or the front of the pelvis up. Drop the back, the tailbone down. Lift the sides of the waist, get taller, and the sides of the torso. Lift your sternum. Soften your traps. Right? It's the same actions as Tadasana. Inhale, straighten your front leg and your right leg. And turn your toes back in. Release your hands down. You see how I use the exact same ones?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about. If I have Tadasana, I want to go teach that pose. Once I get them in it, right, just the foundational knowledge, then I'm teaching the same actions as Tadasana. Just start. Right? Eventually, like we were talking about, you'll theme things, you'll pick a place, you'll do other things, but for now, just stick with the program, right? And then come back. Neutral poses. Okay? What's another blueprint pose?
Let's do the standing one, right?
Actually, let's go through plank. Inhale, raise the arms up. So again, here we're in Tadasana, right? You could teach this all Tadasana. Exhale, when you fold, tip your pelvis over your thighs. Reach, reach, reach with your spine. Relax your head and neck. Press down through your feet. Draw the inner thighs back. Front of the pelvis lifting up. Belly's lifting. Soften the front ribs. Lengthen the spine. Exhale, bend the knees, plant your palms flat under your shoulders, step back to plank so your legs are straight. Let's teach plank. Press back through your legs, feet are active. Draw your outer ankles in. Inner thighs towards the ceiling, frontal hips lifting up towards the navel center. Soften your front ribs. Widen across your collarbones, you can even say sternum lifting, shoulder blades down and soft away from the ear. Neck is long, see that's still Tadasana? Just on prone, right on our hands. You can talk about the outer arms firming in, the outer hips firming in. Exhale, pull the hips back, pull the shoulder heads back towards your hips, then pause in downward facing dog. Breathing here. So I'll go up, hands and feet. So your hands are the platform of this and the feet, right? So the hands are shoulder distance. Your feet are shoulder distance. I'm sorry, hip distance. The feet, I'll go from the feet to the hands. You could do either. Feet are the same as Tadasana. They're lengthening back evenly. The second toe is pointing forward. Draw your inner arches up, your outer ankles in. Lift your quads. Press your thighs back. Pull the front of your pelvis up off your thighs. Lengthen your rib cage towards your head. Soften your front ribs. Widen your shoulder blades. Wrap your triceps towards the floor. And as you do that, press your inner palms. So just travel up the back side of the butt. And then drop your knees. Come into child's pose. You see how I'm doing it? So I'm just, for now, talking you through these major platforms of your body. Is this starting to make sense? Mm-hmm. A little bit? Your mat smells horrible.
It's not mine.
Oh, okay. You don't have to smell it. So the idea here again is to just kind of, for now, just like traveling up the body and saying a few minor things about each area based on what you know about Tadasana. What's important about arms and down dog, so we're talking about inversions, come back into down dog, and I'll show you why it's important for inversions. Is because it relates to external rotation in the arms. So in down dog, I'm always teaching the external rotation in the arms, which is index finger and thumb will press as you wrap your outer triceps in towards your ears, shoulder blades in towards the heart, and I'm softening my traps. Those are like the main functions there. Because if I were to step into a handstand, that's the same thing that I'm doing here, right? Same work with the arms. And that's why it's a blueprint for inversions, for those types of inversions. Handstand, headstand, pincha, Virasana, dolphin, all these things.
And that's why we want integrity in the joint and not hyperextension,
yes,
and dropping in the ribs, because you're not learning to hold that, all the parts together as one.
Yeah.
Which then means we don't have the strength to go up.
Yeah. Now, if your shoulder placement is right, if you have integrity in the core,
mm-hmm,
then you're golden. You're
stacked.
Right. Yeah, you're stacked. Good. Like, so that's how you can tell. That's why it's a blueprint. I can tell in down dog who's going to have the ability to actually get up into a handstand,
mm-hmm,
if I'm going to teach handstand right away. That's why I break down the sun salutes in my classes. Because each of these poses that we're talking about are blueprints to the rest of the poses. So if I see their Tadasana is pretty solid, if I see their plank is pretty solid, their down dog is pretty solid, then I have a solid group. I know I can do other things with them. Okay. What, we did this a lot yesterday, but now we're, you know, let's say we're in Shalabhasana. Forehead down, hands by the sides of the ribs. I would teach again from the ground up. Let's call the ground up the feet to the head, okay? Because obviously we're on the ground, so everything's on the ground. But from here, so lengthening back through all 10 toes, firming the outer ankles in, drawing the kneecaps up. Again, this is all Tadasana on the wind. Inner thighs rolling back, tailbone to heels, lift the pit of the abdomen up. Soften the front ribs in, press your hands, and then begin to lift the upper torso off the floor. And now we're in Chaturanga arms again, right? So we can roll the triceps back and in to widen the collarbones. Same action there. Neck is long, traps are soft. Take a deep breath. Exhale, release down. See how again, it's almost like Tadasana, right? Same action, so the glutes maybe slightly a little bit differently. If I were to do a big back breath class, I would really focus on my those wheels that I was telling you about. Inner thighs rolling up, tailbone rolling down, the length of the rib cage, and the opening of the thoracic.
The shoulder blades away from the neck.
All of these things that I'm telling you are to protect the risk factors. I'm always teaching based on what I know the risk factor to be in the pose as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really cautious of that because it's like, I don't want people walking out. You know, unfortunately, two people walked out of class yesterday not feeling so great in their bodies, right? You don't want that as a general rule of thumb. We covered a lot yesterday. It's kind of unavoidable in a little bit of a way, but you don't want that. You know, you want people to walk out of your class feeling really good. Really balanced, so they come back. not just for you, but so they come back to yoga. Right? So, so that's locust pose. Yes.
So today you gave us this quadruped.
Yes.
Yes, I don't know that it has a name.
Yes.
But,
tabletop maybe? No, quadruped.
When naming plank as the blueprint for so much, plank is actually pretty advanced for some people.
Yeah, that could be a blueprint.
Yeah, and then also what you were just teaching about, like all the pieces you were just giving for the cobra.
Yeah.
And you were having us extend. Like that's because so often there's an unconscious, you know, like how you were cueing me in that drawing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just wanting to know what you think about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you could consider this a blueprint.
Yeah. Like if somebody can't come to plank, what I'm teaching in plank is really her core stability and her torso. So yes, being on hands and knees and tabletop quadricep pose is a blueprint for even plank, right? If you really want to drop it down into an even easier pose. So yes, and cat cow could be a blueprint for back bends. So yes, and I'm talking, I'm giving you bigger poses because that's what I teach. But yes, in a gentle class, being on hands and knees, using props, using blocks. And just doing the basics is still, if you know the basics, then you're going to be able to teach pretty much anything, right? So it's like, just get to know the basic poses and what to say in them, and then you'll be surprised. It will ripple out and translate into the other poses because you'll recognize it in people's bodies. You'll go, Tadasana, what's going on here? Right? And that's how you'll be able to know what to address. Hopefully that makes sense. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then the core, the inhale, lifting, exhale, turning, and making sure you address stability in the pelvis. That's what's on the ground. And that's what, even if you're in a standing pose, that's what you're looking at, like we did today in the lifted canvas and Michelle's body. Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's probably, hopefully, a little bit more about what you were looking for.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. When are you giving us a class?
Me?
I expect you to host a class immediately. The best way to learn, I really think, and that's why I give you opportunities to teach, though, is to get the garbly words out of your mouth. Because the more you do that, the quicker you'll be able to just be like, oh, I can just talk, you know? I'm going to just tell them what to do, and if they're not getting it, then I'm not saying something. And that's how you learn, you know? If everybody's following along, then you're saying something that makes sense. I mean, that's just it, right? If it's landing, then you've been here. Slow down. You know, slow down. Take your time. If you start teaching beginners, that's a good thing. It helps you become a better teacher to start with beginners and teach beginners because beginners don't have any blueprint for anything. So you'll know if you're teaching clearly right away because they don't know anything about the yoga. They don't know where the props go. They don't know where their feet go. They don't know where. So at first it might feel a little frustrating, but at the same time it's actually the best thing you can do because you really learn. You learn really quickly what to say. Because if you go into a flow class, you could really fake it. You could really fake it. You could be like, upward dog, downward dog, breathe, warrior one, warrior two, and everyone will get in it because they already know the poses. You don't really have to teach it that well to start. You know, like I see a lot of teachers walk in and fake it. I always know who's faking it. Because like then when it comes down to alignment, they don't know what to say. You know, they're just like, okay, let's breathe again. And you're like, okay, that's cool. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But like they're kind of probably they might be a new teacher and they're just learning, but they also know like they could go in and they can, because all the students could do it with their eyes closed. You know what I mean? So it's easier to teach upper level or I would say mid level. Upper level, you might need to know some inversions and some arm lunges and stuff. But like a mid level class, you can get away with a lot. You can really get away with a lot. It's the beginners you can't get away with as much.
So what would you have considered your class today at 11?
For me, I feel like that was like a level 2. But some people might consider that out here because I'm coming from a different place where people are like freaky about yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been like a level 2 there.
Mm-hmm. Out of how many levels?
Here, it might be like a level 3 more advanced.
Mm-hmm.
Out of like 4 and 5 in LA. Like, there's classes where people like jump up into handstands and every vinyasa and they're in handstands the whole practice. I mean, it's nuts, like Cirque du Soleil crap.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy, you know. So I learned my lesson when I first moved here and I went to teach a class. It was like a 9 a.m. flow and I did my like regular like LA 9 a.m. I just wrecked. Everyone was like, what is she doing? And I, like about 10 minutes in the class, I'm like, wow, this is not sustainable. I'm going to have to like chill out. You know what I mean?
Back it down.
And I think I scared the shit out of most people and they never came back. Like, okay, different market. So, you know, it's just depends on the market, what people are used to. Here, they're more used to a gentle, restorative, which is great, yin. And lower level, like more slowed down flow. And or they go to hot yoga. And so that's where the more like fiery vinyasa people are in the hot studios.
Mm-hmm. That's also just, I just want to put this out there, I think it's also because that's how the community's been trained. Like it goes both ways.
Of course.
That's
yeah.
what's been offered. Because I when I first moved here, I was like, I stopped going to classes
right.
for the yeah. most part. You
right.
know, I enjoyed right. Vanessa's, but
yeah.
So. If there was a way that people who were wanting that knew that it existed.
Right. I mean, it all, yeah, it's all relevant.
You know?
Yeah. So it's interesting.
I think our community offers a certain type of demographic, though, too. Like,
this is an older studio, older demographic.
Well,
yeah.
And just, I mean, like, the people that are doing yoga, like, in my experience in Medford,
mm-hmm.
Are either elderly people who are going specifically for gentle or restorative, or it's young girls that are doing the flow and they think they're doing advanced yoga and they're not doing
it. Yeah.
But I would say, like, overall, our community is not a super health-based community, like, especially in Medford.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody's all about fast food and
yeah.
ease of life
right.
and how what makes things more convenient so they can do the least amount of work. You know, and I think obviously in LA it's very different. People are very driven.
Yeah, and this has been around for so long there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the original yogis were like in LA, New York, and San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and so those markets have been doing yoga since the early 60s.
Yeah.
So there's a very mature, very intelligent market. There's also the fast food yogis. I like to call them the fast food yogis that look really pretty and love to do that. I love the dancing style, like, you know, and the dancers that are in LA and the people who are in it for that too. So you get everything there because it's so big. I mean, there's just that. But here, yeah, it's different. So, you know, I don't remember why I'm buying that subject.
I'm just saying that I think there are people who want what you have if they knew it
if they knew it actually existed.
Yeah, there are.
And I have slowed down a little bit here.
Yeah.
To try to be more intelligent, so people who, if they are older, let's say, in their bodies, that they can still do it, and I'll give them options and levels, you know, and I'd like to do that, too. So it's mixed level, but yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
We hit our time.
Thank you.
We hit our time. All I'm thinking about is, like, how much I want to take a shower.
Isn't it the end of the basketball game where you just hold the ball?
I know. I was just like, wow, okay, shower time, medicine salt bath, like, you know. Anyway. All right, so good. If you have questions or anything comes up, and you're like, I don't know, I'm serious, like, you can email me, you can call me, you can text me, I don't even know if you have my contact, I know
you
have
you gave it to
my
me.
Email, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, do that, or come to class, or whatever.